Good evening. If you would, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 17. We're going to be looking at this passage for our lesson this evening. I want to begin by expressing once again my appreciation for the opportunity to be with you all this weekend. Thankful for the chance to be able to be here to present these lessons from the Word of God. I hope that everything that we've had to talk about has been helpful and encouraging and uplifting and most importantly, has been true to what the Scriptures teach. That's what we are trying to do. That's what our obligation is try to represent the Scriptures accurately, to speak as the oracles of God, because ultimately the only way we know what is true and that we know what is right is by looking at what the Scriptures teach. And so I'm thankful for this opportunity. I want to, very quickly before we begin, also want to express my appreciation for all of you who have invited us over to your homes or have taken us out to eat. It is a sacrifice and act of hospitality to, when you have a gospel meeting, to invite the preacher and to feed him and to entertain him. And it's even more so when he's bringing his wife and three children. And we appreciate the kindness that has been shown to us very much. And we will not forget that. This evening we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 17. When Paul was in Athens, as he is traveling to different places, preaching the gospel, he gets to Athens, and it says in verse 16 that while he was waiting at Athens, his spirit was being provoked within him as he was observing the city full of idols. He was in this city of Athens, and it says his spirit was being provoked within him. He saw the idols that filled the city, these objects of worship that the people there would worship and burn incense to and honor as these deities, and it bothered him. It bothered him to the point that it says in verse 17, he was reasoning in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be present. He saw the state of the city there. He saw the idolatry that was rampant there, and it bothered him enough that he was going to speak up. He was going to try to teach whoever would listen, which is what we are doing as well. We are trying to spread the word to any who will listen, whether it's people that we can't invite and come into the walls of this building, or those that we might meet across the kitchen table, or those we might talk to at work, or people in our family who do not yet know or follow the Lord. We're looking for opportunities for people who will listen. That's what Paul was doing here. He was speaking with whoever happened to be present, trying to find people who were interested, trying to find people who would listen to him. Well, as he is preaching here in Athens, his message piqued the interest of some of the philosophers there, and they wanted to hear more about this. In verse 20, they said that you are bringing some strange things to our ears, and we want to know what these things mean. They were curious. They wanted to hear what he was talking about, what all of this was about. And the Athenians, they were people who were curious. They wanted to hear new ideas, which can be an opportunity for us to teach them about the God that they do not yet know. Verse 21, now all the Athenians and the strangers visiting there used to spend their time in nothing other than telling or hearing something new. So Paul had an opportunity. He had an opportunity to teach these people who did not yet know God. All they knew were these idols. And he was going to teach them about the God of heaven, the God that we have been talking about throughout this weekend. As he began his sermon, he acknowledged in verse 22 that the people of Athens were very religious in all respects. He acknowledged that they were committed to the worship of these different deities that existed throughout the city. And then he pointed out one altar to a specific god that was a little bit different than the other ones. Verse 23, he says, while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. They had a city full of idols. But they were concerned, well, what if We have a city full of idols. We worship all these idols, but what if there's another one that we didn't think about? What if there's another one that we just don't know about? So we're going to set up an altar to this God that we don't know, so that way this God might be happy with us and we don't incur His wrath because we just were ignorant about Him. So they set up this idol. And Paul says that this God that you worship in ignorance, this I'm proclaiming to you. The God of heaven, the one true and living God, is the one we talked about, who is the God of creation, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, the God who is the Father of Jesus, the Son of God, who provides us with everything good in this life, as we'll see in this lesson. That was the God that Paul proclaimed to them. So these people were very religious. He proceeded to tell them about this God. So as we read these verses here, to get this in the forefront of our minds, notice what he tells to them. After he says, I'm proclaiming this unknown God to you. Verse 24, the God who made the world and all things in it, since He is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He served by human hands as though He needed anything. Since He Himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said, for we also are His children. Being then the children of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and thought of man. He goes on, but we'll notice the rest here a little bit later in the lesson. These people in Athens did not know about the true and living God, but they were curious. They wanted to know more. And we are going to encounter people in our everyday lives who are like the people in Athens. They don't know about the true living God. Now, some of them are not going to be curious. Some of them, at this stage of their life, they are not interested in God. We hope we can plant the seed in their heart that at some point, they will remember that, at some point when they will be willing to listen and willing to discuss these things. And so we continue to teach, we continue to plant the seed. But then there are others who are curious and who will listen and who want to learn more. How do we teach them about this unknown God? We're going to talk about this God that Paul declared to them this evening. So what do we know about this God? How should we explain Him to the people that are all around us? Number one, we need to notice and we need to remind people that He gives life and breath and all things. Verse 25, it says, nor is He served by human hands as though He needed anything, since He Himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. We talked about in the first lesson in this series, when we looked at God as the Creator, we saw in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. That verse states a basic principle that everything that exists, this building that we meet in, the home that you live in, the car that you drive, had to be fashioned, designed, put together, and built by someone. There is nothing that we see, nothing that exists around us that just appeared from nothing. It all came from something. From someone, and the Hebrew writer says, the builder of all things is God. The world that we live in came from somewhere, and this is the Creator that Paul is declaring here. He gave to all people life and breath and all things. Every one of us, and everyone we meet, everyone that is assembled here in this building, even if you do not yet know who this God is, you have been made in the image of God. Genesis 1 and verse 27 tells us that God said, let us make man in His image. In our image. We are going to fashion man. He's going to be made in the image of God. Everyone here, everyone we meet, has been made in the image of God. And as we noticed this morning in James chapter 1 and verse 17, This God who created us, He continues to bless us. He continues to provide us with every good thing. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. This God who made us, who gives us life and breath and all things, He has given that to us because we are made in His image. We are special to Him. But we also see, as Paul explains here, that this God that the Athenians did not know, He blesses us whether we serve Him or not. Notice in verse 24, it says, "The God who made the world and all things in it, since He is Lord of heaven, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He served by human hands as though He needed anything." When God created us, He made the world and everything in it. He blesses us. He is greater than we are. And He continues to bless us. But why does He provide these things for us? Why does God give us life and breath and all things? Is it because we serve Him? Is it because that we offer our worship to Him? Is it because we obey Him? Well, we strive to do that. Those of us who are disciples, those of us who fear God, we strive to serve the Lord and do His will. But then there are a lot of people in the world who don't do that. And as was read for us in the scripture reading, Jesus said that He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. That people who do not serve Him and have rejected Him, He continues to bless them. He continues to provide for Him. Those who reject God still receive His blessings, which shows His great love for mankind. But Paul also explains to them that God blesses us whether we know about Him or not. There are some people who know about God, but they choose not to serve Him. They decide, well, they don't want to do that. They have other things that they are interested in, and they just reject God. And there are other people who just don't yet know about God. And this was the situation the people of Athens were in. They had this altar set up to an unknown God. They did not know this God that Paul was proclaiming to them. This altar to the unknown God, this was the one that Paul was declaring. As we looked at earlier in this series, in Acts chapter 14, God blesses mankind, even blessing those who do not serve Him and do not know Him. And Paul explained why he does that here as he talks to the people of Lystra after they mistakenly believe Paul and Barnabas are gods that have come down out of heaven and want to offer sacrifices to them. They stop them, and Paul declares in Acts 14 and verse 16, "In the generations gone by, He has permitted all the nations to go their own ways. And yet He did not leave Himself without witness, in that He did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." These people who wanted to offer sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas as if they were gods, they didn't know the God of heaven. But yet, God was blessing them. God was continuing to provide for them. He blesses those who had forgotten Him, those who do not serve Him, as Paul explains that this is a witness to His existence and His goodness. But also Paul explains to the people in Athens that God has made it so that we can find Him. In Acts 17 and verse 27, it says that they would seek for God if perhaps they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. God has made it so that we can find Him if we will seek after Him. So you have people who do not know God. You have people who do not serve God, and yet He continues to show His goodness to them. Why is He doing that? You look over Romans chapter 1. This is the passage that we started at the very, very beginning of our series. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. It says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." God blesses mankind. And blesses us in a way that through the creation we can clearly see these characteristics of God. We can clearly see that God exists. We can see His wisdom. We can see His care for us. In creating a world that provides for us, and creating a world where we can live, where we can exist, and we can prosper, even those who have rejected God, those who do not know God, they still enjoy these blessings that God has put in place. This shows His power over creation, His power over us. This God was unknown to the Athenians, but He was knowable to them, just as He is to people today. The Hebrew writer wrote in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, "Without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." God has shown us in the creation that He exists. He has shown us then in His Word that we can examine His Word and see its how it is perfect without contradictions. We have evidence that it is from Him. We see about His character. We see about His will for us. He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. We can grope for Him and find Him, and He is not far from each one of us. Well, the question then we ask that might come up, why should people seek after God? If all these things that Paul explained are true, and we would affirm that they are, if the Athenians were convinced that all that Paul said was true, why should they seek after God? If God continues to bless those who do not know Him or do not serve Him, then what's the point of seeking after Him? Why not just continue to enjoy these blessings and continue to enjoy all the good things that this God that we don't know has given us and just not even think about who provided these blessings? Not even think about the one who gave them. The reason why is what he said in verse 30 and 31 of Acts chapter 17. "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to man that all people everywhere should repent, because He has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom He has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising Him from the dead." This is the reason why the Athenians could not just say, "Well, we have this altar of the unknown God, and that's good enough." Paul says, you need to know about who this God is. You need to know this God who has blessed you, even though you don't know Him, and even though you're not serving Him in the way that He has told you to, you need to know about this God. Because there is a day of judgment coming. This world that we live in, and all the blessings that are found in it, while God has abundantly blessed us here, these are only temporary. In 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter explains what's going to happen to this world that God has made. This place where He has provided us every good thing that we talked about this morning in the providence of God. Everything that God has given us into this creation to enjoy, to see His goodness, all of this that He's provided. One day that's going to be destroyed. One day that's it's all going to come to an end. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up." This world and all the blessings that are in it are only temporary. And even if this is far in our future, whenever this time comes, we all know, and everyone realizes this, religious or not, everyone realizes that at some point death is going to come. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed for men to die once. After this comes judgment." We are not going to be around forever. Yes, we enjoy God's blessings here in this life, but we are not going to be around forever. So what do we need to do? If we know that judgment is coming, after death comes judgment, as Paul told the Athenians that He has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness, what is it that we need to do? He says that God is declaring in Acts 17:30, God is declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent. What does it mean to repent? It means to turn from our sins, to stop following our will and start following the will of God. The things that He has instructed us in His Word. Paul explained over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that one day we are going to stand before the Lord in judgment. That is one appointment that all of us will meet. Every one of us will stand before the Lord in judgment. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for the deeds in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." We are going to stand before the Lord in judgment. And we can look and say, well, look at how good my life is. I don't need to think about whenever death might come. I don't need to think about the future. I don't need to think beyond this life because I'm enjoying life now. And you might be. Because God abundantly blesses us here. You might be enjoying life. You might be having all of these blessings that are yours, whether you acknowledge God or not. But one day, you're going to stand before the Lord in judgment. It could be that you will be alive when the Lord returns. It could be that you pass from this life and will meet Him in judgment after that. But you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You will give an answer for what you have done in this life. Each one of us will do that. But we're told in John chapter 14 how we're going to be judged. Paul said we'll be recompensed for the deeds in the body, or paid or rewarded for the deeds that we have done. Well, what exactly does that mean? Does that mean we can just do what we think is good, do what the most people around us, what they believe is good, and as long as we do enough good things, then this God that we may not be too concerned about now, He's just going to save us anyway? Jesus explained what that standard of judgment is. John 12 and verse 48, "He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him in the last day." We have the words of Christ. And this is not just the words that He has delivered while He was here on the earth. As Paul would explain to the Corinthians and in other passages, the things that the apostles revealed were the Lord's commandments. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37, he explained that he wrote, the things he wrote were the Lord's commandment. We look at what Jesus taught. We look at what the apostles taught that he commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the standard that we are trying to follow. That's the standard that we are going to be judged by. God has not left us in the dark. He has not told us there's a day of judgment, but then just left it to us to just see if we'll figure out what His will is. No, He's told us what His will is. He's told us what is right. He's told us what is good. And over in Hebrews chapter 5, we see who it is that will be saved by Him in the end. Hebrews 5 and verse 9, it says, "Having been made perfect, He became to all those who obey Him the source of eternal salvation." That is why Paul told the people in Athens that God is declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent. Because those who are going to be saved are those who obey the Lord. He is the author of salvation to those who follow Him, to those who serve Him, to those who do His will. And each one of us is going to stand before the Lord in judgment and give an account for what we've done in this life. So we need to recognize who God is. Believe who Jesus is, the one that He raised from the dead, who will be the one that judges us in the end. We need to turn from our sins, to repent, follow after God, faithfully obey Him. And as we encounter people in the world, which all of us will, we will encounter people every day who do not know God, who do not serve God. We need to strive to be ready to teach them, to show them the way of truth, to show them what this God of heaven, that they may not yet know, what He requires of them so that they can be saved as well. This is what we're trying to do. We're trying to save all those that we can. We're trying to bring them into the fold. We're trying to let them have the same hope that we have. And so as we go out into the world, as those of us who are Christians, let's look for opportunities to talk to people who are curious, talk to people who are interested, talk to people who don't yet know who God is, and try to plant those seeds that will lead to the gospel taking root in their heart and lead them to obedience of the faith. And it could be that you're here this evening and you've heard about God. You recognize that He is the Creator. You recognize who He is, that He is not unknown to you. You know about Him, but you have not begun to serve Him. You've heard that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You believe that. You recognize that. You know that God raised Him from the dead. Paul said that He raised Him from the dead, and now He's going to judge us in the end. If you believe that, but you have not repented of your sins and confessed your faith and been baptized into Christ, then we would encourage you to do that this evening. Paul said that God has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. And we do not know when that day is. It might be beyond all of our lifetimes. Or it could be tonight. We don't know when this day is. If you recognize who God is, you believe who Jesus is, and you're ready to serve Him, then we can help you be obedient to His will this evening. And if you've done that and become a Christian and have fallen away, have allowed sin in your life, then we would encourage you to repent of your sins, pray to God and ask Him for forgiveness. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.